So from name and form, what appears next? Or what is the, I'm probably saying that wrong, what is the next link in the chain? What is the cause to name and form?
Yeah, so it gets a little bit interesting here. there's a little bit of a side quest in the next nice. Two Nidanas, which are kind of optional. They're not included in the Buddhist Sutta where this teaching is given, but certain other commentaries will include them. And basically what they are is a breakdown of name and form into two kind of sub Nidanas.
Okay.
But I figured the more the merrier. You know, if they're there, why not include them?
Yeah, why not?
They could be handy.
Put them all in.
So next one is body.
Okay.
Body.
So this would be the form out of name and form, we would say.
Yeah, so this is sort of diving into the form aspect of name and form. So name and form is about concepts, having concepts that enable us to perceive certain things as such. And where that comes from is having a human body. Every human being has the ability to see a table as a table. You know, your dog might not. your cat might not. You get people like Jung. You know, Jung speculates that the archetypes, you know, may be kind of encoded in the brain, you know, physically.
Okay, yeah.
So what we've got here is the idea of being a human being, having a human body, a human physiology, you know, is what equips us with these concepts that enable us to perceive the world as such.
Is it even down to like the physicality of, on a very like mundane level, go back to the example we were using of that, physically having an eye is part of the thing that allows us to have vision. That unlike you don't, unless you we have a physicalness of it, we can't see the physicalness. Is that kind of obvious in the way that to be a human involves having a human body? That's
And most importantly, perhaps it involves having a human brain. You know, because the brain is part of the body. So you get a human brain, and you know that enables you to see the world in certain ways that frogs and snails don't.
But I assume though then that it's not, or is it? You tell me if I'm wrong. Is the Nidana applicable only to humans, or is it applicable to all things? Like when you say body, are you talking about a snail too? But are we only talking about it from our point of view because we are humans? Like is this inherent through all of creation?
Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, I'm thinking of that famous philosophical paper, Thomas Nagel, I think it was, wasn't it? Who wrote a paper, What's It Like to Be a Bat?
Oh, right. You know.
And thinking of, you know, what a bat's experience of the world might be like. And I think to some extent, we can maybe conceptually feel our way into that. But you know, who knows?
It's ultimately going to be a human thinking he's a bat rather than a bat. You know, still felt started being human. Yeah. What would a bat feel like as a human? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I suppose I'm saying, does body apply to the table as well? Would that get counted under the body, or is it only in the perception of the table we have a body?
Well, now perhaps we start to kind of go into like the meanings of this card, because it makes us realize how having a human body, you know, is so constitutive of what sort of world we live in, you know, what sort of world we inhabit. I mean, I remember there's been a lot of stuff written about how, you know, like a lot of products are tested on men, you know, rather than women. And
all right, what a reason of.
Yeah, I don't know if you come across this. There was a famous book. I think it's called Invisible Women, which is about how because so much stuff is, you know, uses the male bodies for kind of testing. You know, people with a different experience of the world are to some degree kind of shut out of that. You know, and the same for race and disability. You know, so one of the meanings of this card is really about how we inhabit the world. Say if this card comes up in a reading, it might be pointing to things like technology or, you know, adaptability, adapting to situations, fitting in to situations.
Right, yes. It's something tactile in a way.
On the more positive side of things, you know, you've got ideas here about agility, skill, power, you know, personal power. Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. So, and I suppose then in Corpum, being that it's body, it would have physical fitness, I suppose, health, would it, like, you know, that kind of thing, vitality.
But you can also use that wisely. I mean, if you're aware of your limits, if you know what your talents and abilities are,
yes,
you know, then you can use that to your advantage, paradoxically. Now, I got the impression that you enjoyed doing this one, if I'm remembering correct.
So, traditional image is non-existent in this case, but we can kind of know what a body is. My idea with the body is that it's reminiscent of that section in Watchmen, which is the Dr. Manhattan, or when he pulls himself all back together and he forms himself as a body. And I thought that's one of my favourite. That whole section of Watchmen is just one of the greatest things in literature for me. So I wanted to draw a bit on that without doing a Dr. Manhattan kind of pull off. So there's an element of a perfection of that. It's like the perfection of the body, I suppose, the ultimate form of the body, this kind of thing. And it is, as we've seen earlier, he can't fly, but he's kind of floating there above the ground. There's something a bit more dynamic, a bit more than just, you know, my body. You know what I mean? It's like the perfect body or something.
Well, it's miraculous, isn't it? The fact of the human body is miraculous, and that comes across in that image, I think. And I mean, it's something that's incredibly commonplace. You know, everybody's got one, so it's something that we overlook. But it's so fundamental to what we are, and it's ancient. You know, I mean, the human body hasn't changed for millennia. You know, when we see somebody on the street, we're seeing a form that's kind of been around for thousands of years.
Yeah, it's like everything it's like an accumulation of everything that's happened there, and because it's right in front of us. if you just go, it's not a miracle. There's 8 million miracles, or 8 billion miracles. It doesn't count. And so even on the clouds behind him, it's kind of the spiral, as if he's coming, I suppose, coming down from the clouds, like, so that's signifying that it's the manifestation again, you know, it's coming down from into the world, that is part of the world, you know, that we're firmly grounded or rooted in the, you know, there's a physicalness to it, but it's like that it's spiraling out of the greater, coming down, that was kind of the idea. And it's the blue skin and stuff as well, apart from just that the baby at the beginning was blue, there's kind of a sense, I suppose, of royalty is the world, but I don't really know what I mean by that, but that it's the blue, although I know royal blue is that's the known thing, but it's just to kind of come back as well to the idea of like an archetypical person, like, the, you know, if you just didn't have normal skin or this kind of thing, it's just go, oh, that's just a person, that's just another one of the 8 billion people, not a miracle, change the skin slightly and it's just, oh, I have to look at this in a different way, this, you know, this is something.
Well, you're transcending race, aren't you, by making him blue.
Well, that as well, yeah.
Yeah, so the reversed meanings of this card are going to be things like the avoidance or neglect of the physical side of life.
Not looking after yourself physically.
Ill health, experiencing yourself as being disabled in some respect, not being able to do what you want to do, you know, having your capacities and your powers diminished.
Yeah.
That kind of side of things.
It's general illness, lack of energy.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's kind of, a part of it could be the whole idea as well, correct me if I'm wrong, but like denying the humanness of the, you know, which is something that I think can happen an awful lot in spiritual circles where you just kind of, oh, human thing, that's not important. It's important is the spiritual stuff, and just completely neglecting the physicalness of the whole thing, which is like, I mean, that's where it's happening, you know.
It's
part of it.
It's incredible how frequently, you know, the first step on the spiritual path is into the body. You know, I mean, that's certainly my experience. You know, I think my spiritual quest began. I'm starting to go to the gym.
Or even in a meditative practice, what's the first thing people are told? Just start counting your breaths. Just, you know, notice your body. You know, when you start meditating, how quickly do you notice your body? You know, it's, oh, I didn't know I had a pain in my shoulder. that itchy ear, all of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you start to develop awareness, you know, that's what you find, isn't it? You find an experience of the physical body.
So, the body...
Which brings us
neatly to what we have called a psyche.